This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Amazing how money will motivate everyone. We are live from ESPN Studios in the Seaport District, New York City. It is Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, and we are presented by Progressive Insurance. You hear the call there. James Harden knocking down one of his three-pointers late in that fourth quarter as, yes, the Sixers even the series. James Harden has arrived in the series, but also Joel Embiid returned in the series. The Dark Knight with the mask and all. But what we learned this morning, according to Woj, via sources, that Joel Embiid will not win the MVP this year in the NBA. It will go again to a second consecutive season to Nikola Jokic. And you feel a way about it, my man.
It's robbery. I mean, last year, Joel Embiid, if he doesn't get hurt, continues and should have won his first MVP. He's put in the work, right? And if we didn't know what his impact was, we saw it this weekend. You know, you call him the Dark Knight, I call him the Black Knight. You know, he came and did his thing, and he had an icebox where his heart used to be. He was cold-blooded. And listen, Bam Adebayo, with all those $200 without pass and go, all the things that he had access to, he shut it down. And it's his presence and what he's able to do. And when you talk about, for years, we've made the argument, oh, the West is harder than the East. Well, not this year. We always talked about, okay, well, you know, these guys got superstars. Jokic and Embiid are down a superstar. No Ben Simmons for the majority of the year. And yet, the Philadelphia 76ers had the best record for the majority of the year based on the play of Joel Embiid. So, I don't understand. If he had the best record in the hardest conference, just because somebody did something that's never been done before, that means, you know, we're talking about the assist. That's the difference, the assist. Not since Shaquille O'Neal has a big man led the league in scoring. In a league where the little guy has the ball all the time. This is a guy that, and if you want to say, okay, what should be the tiebreaker should be that Joel is two times the defender that Jokic is. Jokic's not even in the same class as when you think about the ability to be the provider or the protector at the rim. But once again, it's about narrative. People in the media starts to have this happy narrative, and Joel Embiid is robbed out of a MVP that he deserves more than anybody.
Now, I will tell you, I know you're passionate about this, but I will tell you that Jokic, when it comes to all analytics.
I don't care about analytics. What do your eyes tell you?
You mentioned defense. I'm just telling you right now. He is number one in win shares. Number one in box plus minus, which is all your statistics. He's number one in offensive box plus minus. He's also number one in defensive box plus minus.
I'm so tired.
He's number one in value over replacement player. Like, he's number one in so many of these analytics that you look at to decide when it's a difficult decision to make, as you know, between these two players. So you look at the guy that has legit dominated the game analytically, as well as for a team that was shorthanded, he still drags them to the playoffs.
I'm so tired of the
his
squad.
PER, his player efficiency rating, was the highest ever recorded in NBA history.
Yep.
Now, Joel's right behind him, of course.
Yep.
So he also had a very high PER as well, which is, again, another way to explain it.
I hate when the geek squad.
But I know you don't.
I know you don't like it.
Listen, I know you don't like it. I don't like it either. But I'm trying to make the case.
Not all statistics are created equally. If Joel is in a tougher conference, he's doing it against a tougher competition. So, I mean, what are we talking about? It's like, hey, it's like Tom Brady threw for this when he was in the AFC North or East. Does it matter? He's going against the Jets and the Dolphins twice a year, so he can pad the stats. This guy went against the toughest competition, going against it. I mean, listen.
I mean, 1,500 in a single season is a pretty damn good thing.
That's
like
great.
All the things that he has done.
That's great.
That you have to at least acknowledge what Jokic did.
What was his team record?
Yeah, the team, right. That's right. But the team also
was missing
two key players.
And Joel Embiid was pretty much missing the most important piece.
Well, Simmons didn't play at all.
Right. So the entire year.
Yeah.
And everybody knew it was all about stopping Embiid. And he led the league in scoring.
I'm telling you right now, this was not an easy vote for anybody.
Yeah, it was.
And it came down to what I just gave you. Look, you don't have to like it. You don't have to like it. People out there don't have to like it, but I'm telling you why it went this way. And I told you for weeks, this guy's going to win because it's all we've heard from all the NBA media. This is what they were saying. Joel Embiid is certainly deserving of it, but the way to break the tie is to fall back on stats, and the analytics tell you that's how you break the tie.
I thought the best way to break the tie, I mean, because we had years when Kevin Love was putting up astronomical numbers when he was a member of Minnesota. Were they impactful, meaningful wins or points?
I don't think anybody ever considered him an MVP candidate, though.
But what I'm saying is Joel Embiid is doing it against a tougher competition. His team had the better record.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, he's going against less competition. And, of course, the number should be more. But Joel is doing it against a tougher conference, and he's doing it differently than we've ever seen it.
All right, you're not taking it if you're not accepting my explanation.
Don't tell me that Jokic is a better defensive player. Tell me what your eyes tell you. If it comes down to a defensive efficiency, you said, come on, man. Like, you got Joel Embiid out there checking Jimmy buckets.
Yeah.
Like, what are we talking about, son? Like, stand in front of him. Yeah, buckets went off a little bit, but he's sitting there in front of him. Tell me, if you have to pick a defensive player, somebody to pick on your squad that can play nothing but defense, who the hell are you picking? You don't even have to tell me. I already know. Because guess what? What's understood don't have to be said. So we know that Joel is a way better. I don't care about what the geek squad say, because maybe he wasn't putting so many pick and rolls or whatever, so his efficiency was up because they probably had another fish on the squad that they went after. So don't tell me that. We know better.
It is not easy to explain. But I am trying to explain it to you. And again, you'll find this. I know you're going to throw up when I tell you this. Just go defensive box plus minus. Yeah, just do that.
Yeah, yep.
Nikola Jokic is number one.
Right.
Joel Embiid was ninth.
Yeah.
There are players ahead of him, including Giannis, who was also among the MVP candidates. So just, you know, there's that. And then defensive win shares as well. Jokic was number two behind Tatum on defensive win shares.
Sure, he's a great
defender. Embiid was fourth.
Yeah, Jokic's a great defender. He can't even move his damn feet. Dude like that, he's the basketball version of Bobby Hill. And we sit up there talking about he's a better defender than Joel Embiid. When Joel Embiid is smacking volleyball and people's stuff off the board. You saw Marquise Morris get in the game yesterday. He damn near threw the ball through his face.
So you're not happy about this. I wonder if people will agree with me, will agree with the numbers. Don't agree with me, because I didn't have a vote this year, and I would have been on the fence too. I would have had a hard time with this one. So my understanding is a lot of people just went to the numbers and said, this is the tiebreaker is, what do the numbers tell you? No. That's the tiebreaker. You are against it.
Numbers don't tell the full story.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Was Joel Embiid robbed of an MVP this year? Did he deserve the MVP? That is a simple question. We want your simple answer. If you agree with Bart and he got robbed, or you say, no, you got to go with the numbers. It was that close of a race. You got to go with the numbers. Again, Embiid did lead the league in scoring. And it's the first time we've seen that in a very long time for a
big
man.
Since who?
Says what?
Since Shaquille O'Neal, arguably the greatest big man of all time.
Yeah, it has been 20 years. Yeah, it has been a long time since we have seen that happen in the NBA. All right, but let's get to Straight Talk. By the way, Straight Talk a lot. So we've got a lot to get to today. And speaking of Embiid, his team has come back from an 0-2 deficit. And as you said on Friday, you knew he'd play. Mask on, he would play. And he did. And he was able to help. He didn't quite lead, but his presence was inspiring to the Sixers to get the win in Game 3.
How did Bam Adebayo play?
Yeah, not good.
Oh, okay, why is that?
He played a lot better in Game 4.
Why is that?
Yeah, well, again, Embiid's presence was a big part
of it. Oh, his defense. Oh, okay. Oh,
his presence.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. But on top of it is the James Harden story. And I'm telling you, the James Harden story is a story that will always be linked to money. And once everything started being talked about him and whether or not the Sixers should, this was starting on Friday, should the Sixers even pay him an extension? Should they have him, he has to pick up his option and play one more year and prove yourself? With all the conversations we were having. Or let him walk because he's not worth the money anymore. James Harden definitely heard this. And that's why we saw a much different player in Philly, especially last night, what we saw in him in the fourth quarter. He made some shots that you would have said that was a bad shot if it didn't go in, but they went in. And he was an X factor for the first time. And I said, not in these words, but I said on Twitter last night, I said this might be a career-high give-a-crap game for James Harden in a Sixers uniform. I didn't say give-a-crap, but you know what I mean. I mean, you know, you want to talk about analytics? What's the analytic on his level of give-a-crap? because he certainly cared a lot more in this game about getting buckets late and making plays late. And he was able to do that, and he was the X factor in this game. Big difference maker, James Harden. So what changed for you in this series?
We're getting more confident, you know, as the series goes on. You know what I mean? Like, those first two games was a blur. But obviously having Joe and having our full team, you know, we kind of know what to expect. We know where to execute on both ends of the ball. You know, it just makes the job a lot easier. You know, think about it, we're still a fairly new team. You know what I mean? We're down to 2 months in. So, you know, when we finally catch a rhythm and finally find something that works, you know, Joe goes out for a couple games. So we're finally settling into the series, and we found some great things that'll work tonight and that we can, you know, capitalize on for game five.
I mean, it all sounds great, but the bottom line was they couldn't make a three, and you were red hot from downtown. He made 6 of 10 from three-point range. He had 31 points, and he also threw in 9 assists, 7 rebounds. But with that, those stats he's always done. It's the scoring. He took 18 shots. Yeah. This is his first time in forever that he has scored over 25 points in a game. We haven't seen that in a while from him. So what changed? James Harden arrived to the series. Now, of course, is the question, can they win this series now that it is 2-2 heading back to South Beach? All right, that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Okay, the MVP debate. As you know, Woj is reporting, and they'll announce it later on today, that Nikola Jokic will win the MVP for a second straight year.
Bum salad.
Bart disagrees. Was it the right call, or was Joel Embiid robbed? We'll get to your calls and more on this after Bart has this from Granger.
For all the ones who get it done, like Joel Embiid, Granger is here for you and always there to help. Granger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, along with 24/7 support, experienced staff, and curbside pickup at over 250 local branches. And get this, you can get free access to product specialists ready to help you track down hard-to-find items. Plus, Granger's commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop on by. So mad.
You are.
Numbers lie all the damn time.
You are so mad. You know how I know you're mad? Because I'm looking at your forehead. When you were doing that read, you had like a vein right here.
I just hate highway robbery, man. This guy's put in the work, man. Like,
definitely tell, like, this has got you bothered. And you know what? By the calls, I think there's a lot of other people bothered by this as well. It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. And yes, as Woj just tweeted out earlier, the expectation is that Nikola Jokic will win MVP for a second consecutive season. Well deserving. He had a statistically historic season.
Somebody got to take all the shots.
But as you hear from Bart, he feels like Joel Embiid this year was robbed. Do you agree or disagree? Let's go to Philly. Why not? And start with Mark. What's up, Mark?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's happening?
How are you? Long time. Bart, camp man. I fucking love you, guys. Can't wait, bro. You're a legend for that forever.
All right.
I was right there before I get started. I was like, really? You can't wait to go up to New England, bro? You're going to regret that, but you showed up. My bad. I didn't mean.
That's twice. You get one. They go to Mike in the Bronx.
See,
go ahead, Mike.
They're passionate. They mad up in
it's
Philly.
All fired
sir.
Up.
How you guys doing? Yeah, hey, Bart, man, I completely agree, man. I'm actually going back to Steve Nash's second MVP.
Yep.
You know, LeBron got robbed that year, and I feel like Joel got robbed. I think the thing that you guys are missing is just that Ben Simmons was not there for the year, but the drama that caused for Philly, I think that even supersedes him not being there. Like, he had to deal with all of that and still put the team on his back, still be the main person at your best guy's garden. He had a harder road than Joker. I'm not taking away from how nice Joker is, but there's no doubt that the road that Embiid had to go through to play the way he didn't have the impact on winning that he did. I mean, it's hard for me to accept that, man. I go back to Steve Nash's second MVP.
That's a good reference.
I felt the same way about LeBron, and I'm not a LeBron fan.
You know what? Nash comparison is a great one because that year, it's a good call, Mike, because that year, while Nash was high in assists, LeBron outscored him by 13 points a game that year. Like, he dominated on offense, dominated. But Nash got all the first-place votes. 57 to LeBron 16. So that's how he got the MVP. It was because most of the media believed Nash deserved it again. But that was one that a lot of people, after it came out, thought, wait a minute, what? Like, LeBron was insane that year.
Yeah.
Now remember, this is 2006, so this is early in LeBron's career. Now, he has since obviously been able to put a couple of MVPs in his pocket, but at that year, a young LeBron, people thought, deserved it, didn't get it, because Nash, who had won it the year before with a great – I mean, that Suns team, I mean, that was the 7 seconds or less Suns. They were winning 60 games a year. They were really entertaining, and he changed the game. But this is a really good comparison to that. It's an excellent one. It's one that Bart brought up when he and I were talking even before the show. All right, back to Pennsylvania we go with Rob. What's up, Rob?
Good afternoon, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
I agree with Bart Scott 110%. It was highway robbery. Joel Embiid deserved it. I don't care what the damn analytics say. I believe you, Bart, 110%.
Eye test is what a lot of people believe in. And unfortunately,
what do your eyes say? Forget what the Geek Squad is talking about, man. Like, numbers lie. Like, Jigger was wrong. Numbers lie because context matters, right? You know, impact matters, right? And, you know, Joel Embiid, the numbers
Jokic had.
I don't care about that.
I know.
I don't care about that.
I don't. What I don't like about these arguments
is
it makes us have to find something wrong with another guy who had a great year.
You can't.
Which I don't want to do that because the argument for Jokic, once again, is missing two All-Star caliber players on his team, they still were a very competitive team.
One we know. We don't know about Porter, long time. He ain't been an All-Star.
Yeah.
He ain't been an All-Star.
But he's still a big-time player for them before he got hurt.
Yeah, but he ain't been an All-Star. So let's not say they lost an All-Star because he ain't an All-Star.
Yeah, but you can then turn and say, well, yeah, but Ben Simmons didn't play at all. That's an All-Star. We know he's an All-Star.
Exactly.
He didn't play at all that season, and they traded for Harden. And
So not only did Joel Embiid have to pick up the facilitation of, like, assist and creating plays for his teammates. He also had to pick up the defensive slack that Ben Simmons weren't there.
And this was a year, like I said, this was as we've known with Embiid. You want to make sure he's durable. You want to make sure he's there every night.
And who's still playing?
2 years.
And who's still playing?
Has been. Yeah, and that's another great point to make. All right, let's go. Terrence in New York. Go ahead, Terrence.
Hey guys. Hey Bart. You're 100% right. From day one this season, Joel Embiid has been the top dog. Period. Jokic, look in the playoffs. He's being guarded by a loony. He's frustrated. He's fouling out. This guy, he's sitting home watching Embiid play. Embiid's got a hand in his surgery. He's got a face that's broken. And he's swatting balls back in the stands. This guy, I don't care. My eye test tells me Joel Embiid is the guy. The same way where Karl Malone robbed Jordan. We all know Jordan's the GOAT. Mm. I don't care what Karl Malone got. What he got was from Stockton, you know? And I think Steve Nash maybe took an MVP from Shaq, I believe. I'm not sure. But what I'm saying is that my eye test tells me Embiid from day one was the guy. And not only that, Tobias Harris has been getting a pass for the past few years. He's the max player on that team.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing nothing.
Well, he is now.
Maxie was the unknown. Maxie was the unknown who's come on board, but Joel Embiid, he's injured, and he's fighting, and he's playing. And
I'll tell you what.
Fouled out.
In the toughest conference. In the toughest conference.
You know, Terrence makes – I love the passion, Terrence. He makes great points all around. And the other part, I think, that doesn't – look, this doesn't weigh into the MVP voting because it's done before the playoffs.
What about the conference?
But what you see in Joel in these playoffs, playing injured, showing up. Like you said Friday – who was it that we had on? Eton Thomas, remember?
Yeah,
he said, I don't know, should he play if he's got a concussion?
I know what this dude's made out of.
And you said, yes, you play for your team. That's what you do. You show up and you inspire your team. He wasn't at his best, but he was there.
He was fatigued. He had
nine fingers. He's got a mask on. It makes it difficult to see. And yet, whatever it took, I'll give you what I got just so I could be here. In a playoffs and in an NBA, Bart, in a playoffs and an NBA, where we have seen players opt not to play.
Yeah.
We have seen players decide, I'm not showing up for my team.
I'm not 100%.
He's the opposite of that, and you got to respect it. It's just, it. Like I said, it sucks to have to point. One's better than the other, and you have to almost defame the other just to make your point. No. This is, though, about the stats say one thing, and that probably broke the tie, but it doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it right. So, and we got a lot of people that are agreeing with you. A couple more. Brendan's in L.A. Brendan.
Hey, man, I just want to say about the stats, man. They don't matter. Because if they matter, man, James Harden back in 2018 should have won when he was dropping 40-plus in 3 months.
There's the other one. Right.
He was robbed of an MVP. And then on top of that, you got Joel Embiid, who can probably dribble better than Ben Simmons. He mocks his game after Kobe Jordan with the post fade. And on top of that, his defense is mixed with a Tim Duncan and Hakeem. Like, how can you beat that, man? He was robbed of an MVP. Mm-hmm. I agree with Bart.
It's you know what, and Brandon, good call. It's there's a big man bias. Now you can say, well, wait a minute, Jokic is a big man.
But not really. He's like a power forward.
He plays like a guard. Like
it comes out, dribbles the ball.
There is something visually different about the two games. But I also will point to this, and we'll continue to call 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
They mad, son.
3776. And you started it because you're mad too, and you have every right. I also feel like there's also a frustration. The more I'm thinking about it, what did we tell Joel Embiid a couple of years ago? What was Shaq saying to him?
Be dominant.
What were we calling him out for? Stop goofing off. You're on Twitter goofing off.
Get in shape.
You're out of shape. It's clear. Like all these things. You're not taking it serious. Get healthy. Stay healthy. Be there for your team. Be dominant. You could be dominant. People were criticizing him. Did he like get upset about being criticized? Did he tell everybody? No. What did he do? He took it.
He said you're right.
He said, yeah, I got to be better than this. Got his body right, got his mentality right about the game, became more of a leader, a true franchise player, and this is how we thank him.
Yeah.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729.
Were you at Rihanna? You told him to become a star. He became a star. You married. You got pregnant by Travis Scott. He asked you for a damn date. You said, get good. And he got great.
He got more of your calls. And also, we got to also talk to a former NBA player about this as well, get their take on this and more on the MVP news, what we saw in the playoffs this weekend as well, because there's been a lot of headlines in the NBA. Lots to get to. Just getting started on a Monday. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We're coming to you live from above Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. A beautiful day in New York City today, everybody. Not complaining about weather one bit. Bart is complaining, though, about, as you just heard there in the SportsCenter report by Adrian Wojnarowski, that the MVP of the NBA this season will be Nikola Jokic once again, second consecutive year. And Bart feels like Joel Embiid has been robbed of the MVP this year.
I just think it's lazy by people that are voters not looking at the entire scope of the work by both players and understanding the context.
All right, well, let's get some more context on this. We go to our good friend Quentin Richardson, co-host of the Knuckleheads podcast at NBA on the Players Tribune, also 12 years in the NBA as well. Q Rich, how are you feeling about the idea that Jokic will win a second consecutive MVP? Because Bart is not happy about it at all.
Gave it to Bobby Hill.
What's up, fellas? My pick was Joel Embiid for MVP, but understanding the way things work, I mean, you guys just said it yourself, Alan, that the man was the first player in NBA history to get 2,000 and 1,500. So, I mean, that says a lot for us, though. But my pick was Joel Embiid for MVP.
I mean, I just – and the fact that, you know, the biggest indication that the statistics lie is the fact that the analytics say that Jokic is a better defensive player than Joel Embiid. And we know better than that. It's not even close. You saw Joel Embiid out there in front of Jimmy Buckets, you know what I'm saying, sitting there like you ain't getting no Michelob Ultra tonight, even though Jimmy Buckets got some points. But, you know, talking about just the fact that he can be switched out and be responsible for a, you know, shooting guard and still be able to hold his own and slide in front. We know who's the better defensive player, but that just tells you that numbers do lie. Jigga was wrong.
Actually, I think it's Heineken also for Jimmy Butler.
Well, whatever. I won't even want to be with it. Yeah, whatever. I know the song.
But you know what, Q, before we move on to the rest of the playoffs, just you said you would have given Joel Embiid your vote, that he was your choice. Just give me your reasons why he's your choice.
Well, I mean, I feel like you look at start to finish. I mean, the whole Ben Simmons situation, no matter what was going on there, and then even when they, you know, got James Harden and things weren't great with him at first. Like, throughout everything, the one consistent common denominator has been Joel Embiid has been dominant, has been everything for that team. And, you know, I understand Jamal Murray hadn't been there, but this is going on a full year that they've been dealing with that. Joel Embiid, you know, I felt like he overcame a lot of adversity within his team, within his own injuries and stuff like that. And what he did, I feel like it was as impactful. And, you know, they still playing right now.
Yeah, that's the other part to look at. And speaking of which, they're series is tied 2 games apiece because he returns to the lineup with the mask on, despite the orbital fracture, despite the thumb fracture and the concussion and everything else. And he inspires this team, I feel like, inspires this team to come back in this series where they look dead in the water in 2 games in Miami. What did you see out of James Harden last night that we haven't seen in a very long time?
Man, I think we saw that confidence and that confidence and the aggressiveness that you look for from him. And that's why I fall short on saying that he's finished and he isn't this, you know, the James Harden that we used to see. But I mean, I think that we have to understand that when you have a great player that's used to playing a certain way for a long time in Houston, he was used to having that ball and doing whatever the heck he wanted for about 95% of the time. And Doc Rivers doesn't coach teams like that, so it takes him a time period to get used to what's going on. And I think, you know, all great players, they at some point they figure it out. And I think you couple that with the hamstring and with him not being, you know, as healthy as he wants to be and probably as in shape as he wants to be,
right.
I reserve the opinion to give him the offseason and see how he goes next year before I say he's done being, you know, a certain type of James Harden. But I'm not looking for him to be the Houston Mike D'Antoni James Harden, because Mike D'Antoni presents something different for the players. I mean, look at Lin Sanity, look at all the other players that, you know, had huge success under D'Antoni in that style.
You know, but one of my favorite movies is The Five Heartbeats. And
Me too.
Remember when the reporter said that, listen, Doc is on his way to becoming a great writer and a great songwriter once he suffers more? And I feel like that's right where the Memphis Grizzlies are, because they thought they had arrived, but not quite yet. Usually you have to suffer more before you're able to advance and get past a formidable foe like the Golden State Warriors. But with all that, it's always some type of controversy.
Yep.
I'm a huge Pistons fan. And I remember it was the Stolen by Bird. It was the phantom foul on Bill Laimbeer and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And I feel like now the controversy that they will use to propel themselves in the future may be the intentional slash unintentional foul on Ja Morant with Poole. What do you think about the play? And do you think that maybe the Grizzlies are a couple years away before they have the maturity to finally knock off the King of the Hill?
First, as far as like I don't know if it's a couple years away, but I felt like definitely this year they hadn't had the experience that would be necessary to take out this Warriors team. I said that, you know, before this series started. But as far as that play, man, the play wasn't dirty to me. I mean, the way I am as a player, I look at the actual act of what's happening, and then I look at who's committing it and what their history is. And so, you know, with that being a quick play, and it's like he's actually reaching and going for a strip on the loose ball. So we all know as players that he could have caught him, you know, anywhere. He could have caught up to grab the arm or anything when you're reaching for a ball. So I don't think the play was intentional. I moved to who Jordan Poole is as a character. Like he's not been in anything ever like that I can recall. So from my recollection, it was just a bang bang play. Now from Jaws' standpoint, I understand in the heat of the moment he's upset, you know, and he's thinking this or that. He deleted the tweet. I don't know if that means that he doesn't believe it was dirty anymore after seeing it or after knowing what happened. But I don't think it was a dirty play at all.
Yeah, it is amazing to watch it. When you slow it down, it looks so much different than in real time, right? And as a player, you certainly know, Q Rich, like in some moments, it can look a lot worse when you watch it back. But in that moment, it just felt like he was reaching for the ball. It was unfortunate. But now, of course, the series definitely could turn if Ja Morant's not available for game 4. Hey, great to talk to you. Always great to catch up with you. Thanks so much.
Appreciate you guys all the time.
You got it. Quentin Richardson, again, co-host of the Knuckleheads podcast and the Players Tribune. And also 12 years in the NBA, yeah. A guy that has played, again, he's seen it all. You talk about a guy that could love to play in a series like that, yeah. Toughness, defense, physicality, that was right up his alley. And then, of course, the three-point shot as well.
I got a quick retraction. You know, Kim, that holds my Verizon account for me, you know me, over in Dover, told me that it's A$AP Rocky, not Travis Scott. I apologize.
Wondering where you're going correct, with that.
But the bottom line was that
Brianna told him to be a star.
She still owed him something. He needs to tell Travis Scott, hey, I got next. You know what I'm saying? Did y'all go back to bed each other. That's my girl. ASAP.
ASAP, bro.
My God, the generous people.
Who's got enough on his plate
right now. Thanks, Kim. Appreciate you.
All right, more reaction to the Jokic MVP reports. Back-to-back MVPs, and Bart feels like it is not correct that it should be Joel Embiid. Do you agree or disagree? 888-SAY-ESPN. Also, one series in particular showing us why people still question the NBA. We'll discuss. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Han.
ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So Woj reporting that the NBA will announce Nikola Jokic will win his second consecutive MVP. And while he put up the numbers to certainly deserve it, Bart feels like a better candidate pretty much got screwed out of it. Joel Embiid, he feels, should have won it. Do you agree or disagree? 888-SAY-ESPN. Let's continue with your calls on this. In New York, we have Jerry. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, not much. I just wanted to call and make a point. I'm not an Embiid fan. I just want to put a point out there that Bart is absolutely brilliant and on point, that Embiid totally got robbed.
Brilliant and on point. Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Like Jerry, you just made his day, and you don't even need to say another word after this.
Yeah. Drop the mic, Jerry.
Jerry has become Bart's favorite caller.
When we finally get those T-shirts,
yes.
I talked to Carl Banks. He going to get them done for me. You know what I'm saying? We're going to get her done.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Can we get starter jackets? Like Bart and Hart starter
Carl
jacket?
Banks, man. He is Mr. Star.
He is Mr. Star. That's why I said it.
You know what I'm saying? He's big executive for there.
Can you imagine a starter jacket in those colors?
Oh.
Like.
It looked like the Mighty Ducks.
Come on.
Remember
now.
The Mighty Ducks,
yes.
Back in the day? Had a little play.
With the purple.
Hey,
the
Carl,
green.
Carl. Yeah, I know y'all out there. Anybody that know Carl, tell Carl, man, we need that. We need the Bart and Han starter jacket. You know what I'm saying? We'll rep
insane.
That everywhere we go, man. Shout out to Carl Banks, man. OG from the D, too.
Love him. One of my favorite people. Paul's in Jersey. What's up, Paul?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just want to say I'm a Knicks fan, so I don't even have a horse in this race. And if I did, it would be against the Embiid. But come on, man. Like, we all saw what he did this year, and I really think that the NBA is losing its integrity really quickly. Like, he was obviously the MVP, and I love Jokic. That's my guy. But come on, man. It really wasn't close. And the defensive metrics saying Jokic was the better player, like, come on, man. What are we doing?
Yeah, it's the analytics that are doing it, Paul. And you know what? The credibility question that Paul just brought up. Now, remember, This is voted on by media, members of the media. It's a lot of members of the media, broadcast media, writers, beat writers.
Medias have their favorites.
And there's also former players who are in the media. They get a vote too. So it's not like it's just, you know, pencil pushers like me. I mean, it's actual, you know, some former NBA players as well that do broadcasting. And this is what they came up with. And I can't wait to see the breakdown of first place votes. That will be really telling.
Right.
That one will really tell you who the media was really pushing for. I want to see how close that is, but the idea of the credibility of the NBA is something that we need to discuss coming up here, and we'll do so with you. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. 10 seconds. Stay with us.
Bart and Han.
It's Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We'll get back to your calls here in a moment, but so as much as, you know, we are now, right now, the latest news, the most, the freshest thing out there right now is the Woj report that Jokic will win MVP in the NBA. And he had a great year. This will be back-to-back for him. And it's amazing if you think about it too, Bart. How about this? So you're just, it's all foreign-born players now. It's not North American-born players anymore winning the MVP. And this has been dominant. You know, you have Giannis, obviously.
And B's from Cameroon, right?
Correct. So even if he won it, it wouldn't have made a difference. And then there's the big men. Because Giannis is basically almost 7 feet.
Yeah.
And now you have Embiid and Jokic also 7-footers. So it's also a game dominated by smaller players. Right now, the best players of the MVPs are the 7-footers.
And really,
who are skilled.
Embiid is probably one of the only few true centers.
As far as like legit, like old school big men.
Yeah.
Like Joel Embiid could have played in the, you know how they say, could have played in the 90s.
Yeah, 280.
Could have played in the 90s.
Yeah. He would have took.
Probably would have dominated.
He would have took Ewing back there.
Hey, why Ewing?
Hi, Ryan.
How would he have done against David Robinson?
Oh, he would have took the Amaral out to the 3-point line. Amaral would have been
how about
playing off.
Hakeem Olajuwon, who you were besmirching last week.
Well, Hakeem would have been up on him. You know, we used to put your brick on him. That's what our coach used to say. Like on special teams, like put your brick on him, right? Like he would have closed the space. He feel like I got the quickness to recover.
All right. Now, before we get back to the conversation and calls and everything like that, there was also another game besides the Sixers beating the Heat. There was something that happened yesterday afternoon. I was watching Suns Mavericks.
Fitty.
And the Dallas Mavericks win their game. Again, they even up the series as well, winning both games at home. This one, 111-101. And Chris Paul barely played. He had 5 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, and 6 fouls. Yes, he had more fouls than he did points. And I tweeted something when he fouled out of this game that has gotten a lot of attention. And I said this simply. It's games like these that make people question the NBA. What the hell did I just watch today? And I am not, I wasn't suggesting that there's, you know, some type of
Donahue type of thing.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting that. But what I am saying is, though, is that here's a game where there was clearly a mission to catch Chris Paul in some of the stuff that he is, you know, we call it savvy.
Yeah, savvy.
We call it, you know, like he's such a smart player.
Like cut it out.
And they were deciding they were going to call all of it. So they focused on him, which tells me again, don't tell me that they just straight up officiate games.
Well,
no, you are saying, all right, there's some stuff this guy's doing that we're gonna not let him do. And this game was clearly that. So he had a bad turnover game in game three. That's one thing. But, I mean, from the beginning of this game, it's like, oh, they're focusing on CP, and they're not letting him play his way, including the sixth foul, which was, come on.
I mean, that's as touch foul as you could have it.
And if you're a ref and you know he's got five, and you're calling that
you
in a close
five.
Game,
maybe you don't know he got
you
five.
You know he's got
maybe
five.
You don't know he got five.
Stop it.
I tell you what, listen, when you put your hand up, just like in football, when offensive lineman holds, he put his hand up, that is the biggest indication that I can confirm what my eyes say he did it. Like, because you don't put your hands up if you didn't do nothing. He grabbed his arm, and it was enough as he was shooting.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be – listen, not all fouls are created equally. Some fouls are almost not a foul. Some fouls.
Well,
are
he
fouls.
did the fender bender where he's dribbling the ball up the floor.
We call that to Trae Young.
He does the stop short, lean into someone. I think it was Jalen Brunson who fell over him.
Yeah,
and they called him for the foul instead of Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, like stop this, stop the other.
There's a lot of that going on.
But it's like stop this stuff. It's like sometimes.
Well, there was one he went for a rebound against Doncic, and Luka just dives. Like Luka just falls down like he was shot. And they called Chris Paul for an over-the-back 6-1. Chris Paul got called for a rebounding foul against 6-7 Luka Doncic.
You saw that State Farm commercial where he jumped and he stayed in the air. You know what I mean? Whenever he paused it, he's going to sit up there and stay up there, right?
Yeah.
So listen, the same thing make you laugh, make you cry. And this way you understand, crews matter. Right, so when you understand that this is how they're calling it, it's one of these soft. Listen, we don't think that's just out of the blue.
We're just gonna pick on you today.
No,
it's playoffs, man.
Certain crews focus on different things, so like it's always important early in any game, any contest, that you figure out how they're calling it because it changes from crew to crew, from day to day.
Even a vet, even a dude like that,
from day to day, certain crews don't care. Like we have a scouting report on the crew. We know their names. We know what they lead the league in. Listen, every sport does this. They give us, in the presentation, the breakdown for the game, we break down an opponent, right? They give us a report. This is the crew. This is the percentage of holding he calls. And we always knew we had a crew that was going to let us play.
We scouted officials.
And we turned it on. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about taking advantage, but we knew we had the ticky-tack guys. So we knew we had to try and bait the other squad to punch us in the face.
You got to hold the tennis ball in that game.
That's the game within the game.
Yeah.
The DBs will have to practice with boxing gloves on.
You know what? I also have a theory, though, is on the other side of this series is Jason Kidd, who is also probably one of the smartest point guards to ever play the sport.
Yeah.
And you talk about a guy that knew every rule.
Outside of Magic.
And knew how to, like, you remember the thing he did as a player? What did he do as a player when he ran into Mike Woodson and drew, like, a technical foul on Mike Woodson?
Oh, because he was on the court.
Like, there's a lot. There's time as a coach, he spilled a drink on purpose, like, to get a stoppage.
Yeah.
Like, little things like that. Like, he's so smart.
He's the Bill Belichick of coaching.
Yeah, I'm telling you, if you don't think that maybe he had some whispers, a couple of years, like, you know, he's doing this, he's doing that, that's kind of illegal.
Well,
like, whatever it takes.
That's
what a smart coach does. So we'll see how where the series goes. But 2-2 now. There's also more issues with Chris Paul in Dallas to get to, but there's a lot, obviously, to get to with you. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It's been physical, and we love it. We'll talk more about it and a star that could be out next. Barton Hunt.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.